Good morning, and welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you every Friday morning.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. This is America's Great Loop Cruisers weekly blog radio segment. As usual, we have our home port crew, Beth and Steve, with us.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, all. For those non-members that are not familiar with the Great Loop, it's a continuous waterway around the eastern half of the continent. We go through the Atlantic Intracoastal, the Canadian Canals, through many of the Great Lakes, down the river system and around the Gulf, back up to the Intracoastal. Our association was founded in 1999 primarily to form an association of people dreaming of doing the loop and completing the loop, and we share information about our good times and our adventures. If you'd like more information, our webpage is www.greatloop.org, and you can read many of the free resources we have in the left-hand column of our page. Our guest host this week is Mary Beth Amelia. She's a gold looper who completed the loop with her husband Joe on June 17th in 2009. Joe and Mary Beth are probably one of our longer-term members. They've been with us for 12 years now. Mary Beth is going to tell us about the loop from a woman's point of view. Anytime during the broadcast, you're free to call in and ask questions. It's a toll-free number from the States, 877-497-1815. Okay, Mary Beth, are you ready to get started?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so what's about the idea to do the loop?
Okay, I thought I'd give you a little information on my personal experience. We live in Prince Edward Island, Canada, so our trip was actually the Great Loop and the Down East Loop combined, 7,500 miles. Our sailing background entailed 2 weeks summer holiday trips for about 4 years when we decided to plan a sailing adventure. That's when my husband Joe found the Great Loop Association website, and we started to envision that this might be something we could both enjoy. I'll admit I wasn't very enthusiastic about the trip, as Joe was. He actually bought me a book called Dragged Aboard, because that's the way I was feeling. I truly envy women who are excited about sailing. But after 5 years of planning and preparing the boat for a comfortable trip, we decided in June 2008 it was the right time for us. We were both healthy. I had retired the year before, and Joe had a job. He was able to take a leave for a year, so we decided to get this crossed off our bucket list. Now, the preparation for leaving. We took all the boating courses we could. Joe had the marine radio course and piloting course. He ran the chart plotter, and I verified our course with MapTech paper charts. For cooking, we had a two-burner alcohol stove and a barbecue. We also had a Waco fridge and a 12-volt cooler. This allowed me to cook just about anything you could cook at home. To carry our canned goods, I filled a laundry hamper and stored dry goods in the icebox area. We had a plant next door to us that sold canned beef and canned chicken, so we took a case of each as a backup. We started out with a two-week supply of groceries and restocked along the way to keep everything fresh. We also needed all the foul weather gear. We didn't plan on traveling in rain, just basically if we got caught in it. Also, we needed clothes for all seasons since we would be coming up the East Coast in early spring. The last preparation was bringing spare parts, as we had an older boat. Joe was good at doing all the repairs himself, thank goodness.
But Mary Beth, how big is your boat?
Yes.
Or how big was the boat that you did the loop on?
Yeah, it's a 30-foot Morgan.
So you didn't have a whole lot of room for extra parts and clothes.
No, there wasn't. But, yeah, we put a lot on there, I'll tell you. It was pretty heavy. But it would. It had a drop-down keel that would go down 6 feet, And when we cranked it up, it was just 4 feet, so it allowed us to get into some shallower water. So now we are saying goodbye to our family, and that was really difficult. We prepared our parents and 3 children that the trip was coming to reality, and our children are all on their own with families and busy lives, so we basically just had a family dinner and lots of hugs and kisses. Our son and daughter-in-law will live in our house while we're gone, and we set up our banking online and had a Canadian cell phone and a U.S. track phone. But the most important communication device we had was a handheld satellite locator beacon called Spot. We could press OK at the end of the day, whether at a marina or Anchorage anywhere, and our family knew we were where we were and that we were safe and sound. It would also track your route. We used it crossing the Big Bend between Carabel and Tarpon Springs. But our daily sailing was a routine that we started early each morning, weather permitting, of course. Sailboats are slower than powerboats, so we may only cover 15 to 30 miles a day. We'd start about 6:30 to 7 a.m., and then we'd stop about 3 p.m. We wanted to enjoy the marina, the town, or do some fishing in an anchorage. We decided not to travel in bad weather because our motto was, it's all about fun. If we got caught in bad weather, we'd look at the charts and head for a safe spot. And it's always good to have backup waypoints. One of the fun parts of our trips was visiting our family along the way. We were able to stop for a week and visit our son at university in Montreal, and he gave us a fantastic tour of downtown Montreal Jazz Festival. From Montreal, we also did a side trip up the Ottawa River and down the Rideau Canal from Ottawa to Kingston. The Rideau has beautiful locks on it, and Joe's brother and family live on the Rideau. But the highlight of visiting family on the loop was arriving in St. Petersburg, Florida, December 10th, to spend Christmas at my father's winter home. We did take some side trips. When we reached Mobile, Alabama, we'd been on the boat for 6 months, so we rented a car and went to New Orleans for the weekend. What an awesome city that is.
We've been there. We love it.
Oh, it's beautiful. We just loved it, too. And we also took some horse and buggy tours of Beaufort, South Carolina, Savannah, Georgia, and Charleston, South Carolina. Another amazing city was Colonial Williamsburg, Virginia. We did all these trips with boaters that we had met on the loop.
Did you mostly anchor out or go to marinas on the East Coast?
Okay, that's my next session here. We had to learn to anchor. And moor. We didn't even know what mooring was. We didn't have a clue. But anchoring. We practiced anchoring once before we left. And, oh, my heavens, that was a disaster. But we don't have an automatic windlass, so we decided that I would learn how to handle the boat, and Joe would drop the Bruce anchor and chain and give hand signals. And we got really good at it. We were anchoring a lot more than we were at marinas on the trip.
Steve's anchored many times, but I've only been with him, I think it was 3 times that we anchored, and I definitely need to get used to it. I find it stressful, so I need to get more practice.
Yes. When we sailed around PEI, we would always go to marinas, and we would tie right up to the old rusty docks and everything, and we just said, oh, we can't hand anchor. But when we came home, we went to PEI. We never got into the marina. We just went out of the channel and threw the anchor and went to sleep, and, yeah, we were certainly really comfortable with it at the end.
Good.
But mooring was quite an experience. Joe would get close to the ball, and I'd pull the line through the loop. Sometimes it would take a few passes, but mooring was more mentally comforting to us. You didn't have to worry about dragging in heavy weather, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But we always loved getting into a marina. It was so comfortable, and they are so good to loopers. along the way. They give discounts on dock fees. Sometimes the second night was half price or free. And most marinas had showers, laundry facilities, grocery stores nearby, or courtesy cars available.
Uh-huh. I can imagine on a 30-foot boat you didn't have room to bring bicycles with you.
Well, we actually did buy some along the way.
Really?
Yeah, we had them ordered, and then we picked them up further on down the Illinois River, I believe it was. And so we had a lot of fun on those, too.
That's been the subject of discussion in our forum many, many times, whether it's worth the space to bring bicycles. And I think the best advice we heard is if you don't ride at home, you're not going to ride when you're on the loop. But if you're a biker, they're more than worthwhile to bring.
Yes, that's right. We're not bikers. We just did it for fun, and we didn't buy very expensive ones. So, of course, once we hit the salt, they were gone. They were all rusted. So,
yeah.
But we did have fun with the pair, and I think we sold them. Yeah, we got rid of them in Marathon when we were there for January and February. Somebody else wanted it. So we just passed them on to somebody that wanted it. So
they got
a lot of use. Yeah. But we found loopers to be so friendly. I guess because we're all doing the same experience. And we'd always be looking for the Great Loop flag on the bows and marinas and anchorages.
Did you meet a lot of loopers along the way?
A lot. And we'd leave and then we'd go down the inland rivers further, and then they'd be at that one, or, you know, we'd see them somewhere along the way again, which was a lot of fun.
Meeting them up again, that's great.
Exactly. And we didn't travel with very many people, but we did find them again, like in anchorages or in marinas.
And it's almost like you've got your old friends back again. I mean, you feel like you've known them your whole life.
I know, yeah. We sure had a lot of fun with them, and sharing stories. And actually at anchor, if you met them at anchor, you'd call on the VHF and you'd plan a happy hour and you'd dinghy over with a bottle of wine and a snack to share. and depending how long the stories went on, you might watch the sunset.
Yeah. How beautiful. Well, I think we're going to take a short break. I'd like to ask our question of the week if our listeners are ready. Mary Beth, you're not allowed to give the right answer, but anyone else who knows the answer, call in toll-free to 877-497-1815. The first caller with the correct answer will get a one-year extension onto their membership, or if you're not a member yet, you'll get a one-year membership in AGLCA. Okay. Who can tell us what is the name of the large lake in the middle of Florida that many loopers cross instead of going all the way around the Keys? Anyone who knows the answer, if you're right, call in 877-497-1815. Mary Beth, I think we'll continue, and if Beth gets somebody calling in, she'll just let us know.
Okie doke. Yeah, sorry to interrupt you, Janice. I was going to tell you a little story about the sunsets in Florida just before you left.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. I hear they're beautiful.
Oh, they are. They're just gorgeous. But when you're in Florida, when the sun is setting in an anchorage, you'll hear conchs blowing a lot of times. People got good at blowing these conchs. So Joe said that I was pretty good at it. Took a lot of practice. But poor Joe tried so hard but looked like Louis Armstrong with the great big fat cheeks, and he kind of sounded like a moose. So we had a lot of laughs over that one.
We actually heard one at one of our Joe Wheeler rendezvous in Alabama. I think it was last year. I heard this noise at cocktail hour, and Steve realized what it was.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, they're funny. We brought one back for each of our kids when we got home, and we had a little blowing of the conch ceremony.
Very, very nice. Why don't you tell us about your water car? What is that?
Yeah. Our water car was towed behind us, and it's our 8-foot inflatable dinghy. Now, we use this. It was our transportation, basically, to everything, to shore, for showers, fresh water, groceries, laundry, entertainment, sightseeing, and the odd fishing trip. Because we were in Marathon, moored there for 2 months, so we use that every day to do something. We had a 2-horsepower British Seagull engine on the back, so it made for a great conversation piece.
When you were in Marathon, did you stay at a marina for the 2 months or anchoring?
No, we were at anchor for 2 months with about
200. 2 months? My goodness.
Yeah. He had wind power and solar power, and we never had to. In fact, the wind and the sun was so strong that it burnt out part of the solar energy or something that he had. He had to go get a stronger one. So
that is fantastic.
And
you didn't
were just
feel
at anchor.
Cooked in or anything in 2 months?
No, because you'd take your dinghy and you'd go ashore and you'd go get groceries or go for walks or go for lunch or go into the marina and get your laundry done and that. And, no, there was 250 people in that anchorage on the mooring balls. They were all on mooring balls in there.
Were they really? That must have been like a community at that point.
It was. It was great. We really enjoyed it.
Great.
But we did have a few tense moments out there. I can think of maybe 3 that come to mind. We had an incident in the North Channel coming into U.S. Customs at Drummond Island. Somehow the buoy numbers didn't agree with the chart plotter, and when we got close enough to view the number, we were on a 2-foot rock bed. The U.S. Coast Guard towed us at no charge and ran a pump as the keel was damaged.
Oh.
A boat lift met us and hauled us out at the dock, but we were welcomed on board by another looper for a well-needed drink.
Mm.
I guess these things happen, but it hurt our pride, and repairs took the month of August.
It took a full month?
Yeah.
Oh, that must have been some heavy damage.
It was, but it took 2 weeks really to get it approved by the insurance company, whether they were going to fix it or... It was pretty close to what our liability insurance was. So, yeah, but they approved it. So the next 2 weeks they fixed it up for us, and we were on our way. So one of the other scary parts was the fog around Nova Scotia. Now, that's when we're on our way home. Nova Scotia and the Maritimes made us depend on our radar 100%. And we called ashore to make sure no freighters were coming into the Halifax Harbor as we crossed that.
Sure. It still had to be a little intimidating.
It was, yes. And one time our engine quit around Panama City, Florida, and we had to be towed by Boat U.S. I would definitely recommend Boat U.S. insurance. 1 mile tow back to the dock cost $600. But all we had to do was sign the bill, and he left. So it's well worth it.
We had a similar experience. I don't know if Steve wants me to broadcast this, but we went aground in Florida, and thank goodness we had insurance. It would have been like $1,000 to get us off. So it's well worth it to get this insurance.
Mary Beth?
Yes, Steve. Yes, Steve?
How many days did you actually run under sail as opposed to power?
Okay. Well, we sailed about 25% of the time, and we motor sailed about another, I'd say, motor sailed about the difference, because we had to take our mast down twice.
Yeah.
So then all down through the inland rivers, of course. So we motored all down there. And basically to stay on course, you know, we motor sailed quite a bit.
Okay. I get asked that question fairly frequently, and I really didn't know, so I figured I'd ask you.
Yes. No, just to keep on course and to keep going and making miles. We just gave it a little bit of engine also, keep our direction going in the right way. But some special memories that I have were boating through downtown Chicago, seeing the Trump Tower and the water taxis, taking people to work. That was awesome. And another thing was we did it's kind of a side trip, but it's a special memory, sailing to the Dry Tortugas, 70 miles west of Key West. It's an island with an abandoned prison, Fort Jefferson. National parks give tours, and Key West sends over a fast cat for day cruises. There's no marina there. There's just an anchorage, really no facilities, no fresh water. You're allowed to stay for 2 weeks, but we just stayed 3 days because the weather was changing. And also traveling down the inland rivers of Tennessee and Alabama, they were so calm and serene. However, the barges kept you alert. You wanted to give them lots of room as they can't maneuver very quickly. And we also, locks. Locks were fine after the first few, but we did 163 of them. So those were experiences also.
I guess you got to the point where they were just second nature, though.
Yeah, they kind of spoke their own language, and you had to, there was the one whistle and the two whistle, and Joe had to learn how to navigate around them, that's for sure. But he did a good job.
Well, it seems like all tow captains have marbles in their mouth. So when they talk, say
what? Very hard to understand.
Yeah.
For sure. But then, so in June 17, 2009, 54 weeks later and 7,300 miles, we made it back to Charlottetown Yacht Club. A year seemed so long, but it went by so fast. A lot of loopers do it in sections or leave for special events, but we didn't. So we were thrilled to see our family again. And when we got back, we were interviewed by our Charlottetown newspaper. They did a full-page story on us, and we were pictured holding the gold burgee with other pictures of the trip. We also spoke at four or five organizations on the trip with a slideshow of pictures. And I must mention that Joe imported his daily blog entries and pictures into a book, The Voyage of Pot of Gold. We have lots of information on the whole trip from start to finish on our blog. And I'll give you that address if you'd like. It's potogold, POTOGOLD, .wordpress.com. We still have over 100 people daily viewing our blog. But the most important part of our trip was the friends that we met and staying in touch with them. We actually had three boating couples we met on our trip come visit us in PEI this summer by car. We also try to make ourselves available to meet any loopers doing the Down East Loop when they come into Charlottetown or Summerside. We show them the island and cook them a lobster dinner and mussels. It's always a great day for both of us. Well, thanks for inviting me to tell you a little bit about my story. Pardon me, Janice?
I said it makes me want to come and visit. You may surprise
more
you one
welcome.
Day.
Yes, you're more than welcome. We enjoy everyone that comes.
Fantastic. So you stayed in touch with many of the old friends from the loop.
Yes, we've stayed in touch with at least three or four of them.
Uh-huh.
And, we've had a great time and talk once in a while. And that's about it. That's a little bit
of Mary Beth, I want to thank you so much. If anyone has questions, we'll be on for another couple of minutes. Again, anyone who wants to become a member, we'd love to have you. Give me a call, and I'll answer any questions you have, 877-478-5667, and my extension is 5040. You can go to our webpage to sign up, or you can all of our shows are archived at www.greatloop.org. We had a big announcement this week. We're also now on iTunes. So all you need to do is go to your iTunes page and put in AGLCA in the search, and you'll get a list of all of our all of our segments. In deference to the holiday next week, we'd like to give our staff time to have a long weekend. We will not be having a blog radio show next Friday. We'll be back on the 2nd of December, and we'll have Clara Landry from Port St. Joe Marina tell us all about the gathering that they're planning for our loopers in January. Everyone have a great Thanksgiving, and thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye-bye.